are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to your favorite day of the week. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Adam Mattis. Adam, do you think this show is going to go better than the last three-on-one break that your Denver Nuggets had against the Washington Wizards?
It can't go worse. I don't even think it can go as bad. So, yes, I think this will be a little bit better.
That was on a rough, day where, man. Like, the entire discourse across all of Twitter was about, like, how analytics are ruining sports. Y'all had four guys run to the three-point line.
Yeah, if people don't know what happened at the end of those Nuggets-Wizards game, there's a four-on-one fast break, and Denver had all four players stop at the three-point line and then ultimately missed it, you know, to lose by two. It was quite
And then the ball went to the worst shooter of the four of them.
It was a really broken play.
Like when that started off, you're like, oh hey, like they kind of like just kind of stumbled into the right situation here, and then fart noise. Like how'd that go? Like we're today's show, we're gonna go over obviously the games from tonight, and then in the second segment we're gonna discuss the voting structure and how people weigh entertainment versus impact, and then finally in the third segment, Adam is going to power rank the teams that are happiest with their first half of the season thus far. But I'm kind of curious, so Adam, like in that moment you're watching this game and they have a three-on-one break and it looks, you know, just perfect picture perfect, so, situation, and then like where are you at there?
So I'm not gonna lie, actually a little bit nervous. One sneaky thing about Michael Porter Jr., he has really bad hands. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of been a running thing all year that the Murray to Michael Porter Jr. like lob connection, I don't know if they've connected on one successfully. So as the fast break is happening, that's a little bit of backstory where I'm like, oh my God, it's going to come down to like a lob or something, you know, something like that. And I don't feel great about it. And I almost wonder if they thought the same, or, you know, I think Michael Porter just, you know, for whatever reason, fans out to the corner rather than going down for what probably would have been a dunk or a layup. And yeah, really, certainly a possession he'd like to have back.
Look, I speaking from the position of somebody who roots for a team that blew a multiple late game and just throughout the game situations against that same Washington Wizards teams. I've been there, man. You and yeah. I we're that meme of like the super strong people who have that big handshake. Adam Mattis, Anthony Irwin, blowing it against the Washington Wizards.
There you go. You gotta tip your hat though in that game, you know, to the Wizards, who are on quite a run right now. I think
six or seven,
I think, with the lone loss, you know, coming at in the middle of this road trip to the Clippers leading into this game. So the Lakers, Houston, and Boston, that's a pretty good win streak right there. You know, impressive by them. And of course, led by Bradley Beal.
He's outstanding. Let's just start here, and then we'll make our way after this, like throughout the rest of the games, throughout the league. And like the Nuggets, every time you want to start to like buy into them, and you're waiting for them to turn the corner. Is this their like this will be fun season?
You're talking about the Nuggets. You know, they're missing four pretty key players right now in Gary Harris and PJ Dozier. They're number one and number two defensive back, you know, backcourt members. Mm-hmm. And then Paul Millsap and Jermichael Green, they're starting and backup power forward. So they're forced into some weird lineups. What happened tonight down the stretch of this game was Denver was forced to play extremely tiny, and, you know, Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal just a little too big. So there's little things that are going on with the Nuggets that I think, you know, they're lucky that there's so much season left for them to kind of figure out. But, you know, they certainly have a lot of challenges. Michael Porter sort of, you know, tonight he made the big mistake, or was at least one of, I think Jamal Murray also was part of that last play. He also didn't drive to the basket. He had an angle too, but I just think it's a lot of little things with Denver, and we can't judge them quite yet.
Do you take anything, do you think it was just like a slip of the tongue from Murray's perspective when he said that the Denver doesn't really have anybody at the rim to stop anybody from getting to the rim?
It's interesting because I do think it was a sort of interesting criticism. It sounds like of Jokic, but you know, I don't know. I think that, to be honest, Jokic needed to be challenged in that way, and Jokic has carried so much of the burden for the Nuggets on the offensive end. But certainly over the last 2 weeks, I think his defense has fallen off. So, you know, it's interesting. But those two guys, Jokic and Murray, they've actually been pretty fantastic over the last couple of weeks. Tonight was really more about getting some contributions from some of the other guys and just not getting it tonight.
Elsewhere in the league, you had the Knicks drop 140 on the Sacramento Kings.
That's a lot, man.
That's a lot of points. And as that was going on, Luke Walton slaps I don't know if you saw this,
yeah.
But he slaps the board out of an assistant coach's hand, and Alvin Gentry was right there to pick it up. Feels pretty. It's one of those artistic moments, right, where Alvin Gentry is ready to pick up the pieces of the season whenever Luke Walton is eventually given his walking papers as well.
It does feel, I mean, nine losses in a row and you know, some of these in humiliating fashion. And then not just that, you also look at some of the young players on the roster who have come in and maybe had hot starts, who have, you know, cooled off in the years that they've been there. You want, if you're going to lose, you might as well develop. If you're doing neither, then, you know, you're really doing something wrong. But certainly this Kings team is on a downward spiral.
I'm just going to say this from somebody who watched a Luke Walton coach Lakers team and then see him make a lot of those same mistakes in Sacramento was really disappointing. He has some of the least inspiring benches in the NBA, and even Gentry, who was put on his bench for him, basically as like an assistant coach slash eventual replacement. You just look at some of the hires that Luke Walton continued to make when he arrived in Sacramento. And I just, you know, you make your own bed and eventually you lay down in it. And it looks like his coaching career is probably behind him at this point.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
I hope so. I can't watch any more Luke Walton NBA teams. Next game on the docket here, the Memphis Grizzlies shock the Los Angeles Clippers 122-94. That's a beatdown.
Yeah, it really is.
Okay. I will say this about Memphis. I'm happy that they are starting to really get healthy, and I really like their roster at the beginning of the season, and I hope they're able to really kind of collect themselves before the final push towards the postseason. The last game, and other than the game that we started with, right, this is the second closest game on the docket here. Milwaukee beats New Orleans at home 129-125. And, you know, kind of a low key big win for Milwaukee, because this is shaping up to be quite the race between Milwaukee and Philadelphia.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And they also just needed a win. And I count this as a good win for Milwaukee. The Pelicans absolutely have been playing some really basketball lately, as they've put the ball in Zion Williamson's hands a little bit more as a playmaker, just kind of allowed him. I think also a little bit of this is him being in, you know, more capable of handling that right now from a physical standpoint. But they're putting the ball in his hands a lot, and he's delivering 34 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. That's a monster stat line. And on 15-26 shooting, it's hyper efficient.
His shooting charts are basically just like scribbling in the key and then just dropping a couple of random X's around the 3-point line. I think he's fantastic. It's really kind of too bad that he was so saddled by injuries early on in his career. He's really good. And it's funny, because on one hand I say it's really too bad because people aren't really paying attention to the season that he's having so far. But also I think it kind of helps him to fly under the radar for a bit and just be able to produce. So, but he's kicking ass right now. I really enjoy watching him play. There was a moment in this one where he and Giannis met at the rim, and it felt like a scene from Transformers. It was incredible. It was so cool.
Those might be the two most like physically imposing players in the league at the moment, Zion and Giannis. They might be number one and number two.
Him and now those guys and Alex Caruso, right? Like, we're, you know,
Embiid, maybe you throw in there as well. But Giannis tonight, 38 points as well, and Chris Middleton, 31. So, if on the winning side, get big contributions from, you know, your two best players, and you know, a pretty balanced effort all along. Got good minutes from Bobby Portis tonight.
Yep. All right, let's take a quick second here. When we come back, we are going to discuss the what looks to be, injuries notwithstanding, final all-star teams heading into that week of games or exhibitions or whatever, and how Adam and I value impact versus overall entertainment for that game. And then, like we said at the beginning, Adam's power rankings this week are going to be an interesting one. It was my idea, so we'll see if Adam actually sells it. But I like the idea and the direction that we're going to take those. So let's take a quick second. When we come back, we'll talk about that. So Adam and I are covering everything you need to know about the NBA, but what about the rest of sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you'll ever need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast everywhere you get your podcasts. Today's show is also brought to you in part by Bet Online. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing, as well as MLB right around the corner as well. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Shouts to my challenge heads out there. Real-time updated odds and props on almost everything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head on over to betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit by using the promo code LOCKEDON. One more time, that is betonline.ag, promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% deposit bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Adam, so I'm kind of curious. When All-Star, like your concept of an All-Star team, are you rewarding guys for the seasons that they've had, or are you thinking of it from the standpoint of how can we put together the most exciting exhibition game for the mid-season tournament that we can possibly put together?
I think that you look at it because the way that people talk about it historically, we judge people by how many All-Star games they had, and it mm-hmm. becomes a part of a player's legacy. You know, to me, I've always thought of it as who are the players that have had the best season. That's so far. It's about half a season, or, you know, 2/3 of a season usually. And yeah, that's what I'm looking at. Who performed the best, was the best player. Sometimes it's the boring players, and that's a drag, but, you know, it happens.
Yeah. I look at it from, it's tough because, like, I can't disagree with what you're saying, right? Like, there is the historical value, and in this case, in many cases, also contractual value that comes with making an All-Star team. And in that case, like, I wish we could separate contracts from All-Star teams.
Yeah, it's honestly long overdue.
It's teams. Like, it really puts voters in a serious bind here. That like it's impossible to separate yourself from some of the moralities that come with voting for these teams in general. But like the way that I look at it is the All-Star game is already kind of like it's already kind of a sham. They've done everything that they possibly can to make it as competitive as possible. And my thing is,
but it was competitive though. They succeeded.
It was great. It was great last season. Maybe too competitive. Like Kemba Walker and the Boston Celtics would probably say it was probably a little too competitive last year.
But I liked it. I think I'm telling you,
it was incredible.
See, this is our thing though. When I talk about the MVP, and sometimes people will say, "Yeah, but we know who the best guy was," or this, that, and I understand it. Sometimes the best player didn't necessarily have the best, maybe set out this or that for like MVP or any of these awards. But I think like there's a, if we're going to call something like a time capsule for the season, you might as well. And I think the All-Star game is the exact same way. It's a time capsule. We think who was good back then. And if you take a guy off or leave a guy off because he's not entertaining enough, to me, that I don't think that would make sense. So I always looked at it as the best players go.
But also it's a form of entertainment, right? This is something that sports in general are up against where the concept of entertainment is almost in direct competition with the notion of competition of any sport that we're watching, right? Like load management in and of itself is inherently foremost battleground of what's best for these teams from a competitive standpoint, but also what's worst for the viewer from an entertainment standpoint. And I'm sorry, but like and I'm sorry, David, like, this is not me saying this. This is somebody took over my mouth, and here I am saying this. But like, I would much rather see Devin Booker in this All-Star game than Mike Conley.
Mm.
Like right. Devin Booker is he's a more entertaining player, and they're having close enough seasons to me where I'd rather have.
See that, but that last part is the key, and like none of this is a science, right? It's all it's all a perspective, and when guys are that close, I agree with you. Like if you default to it, I absolutely think you default maybe more to the star or to the whatever it is. But I was more thinking if there was a clearer separation, a player like, for example, another Utah Jazz player, a Gobert, who clearly to me belongs in the All-Star game, like. Mm-hmm. Earns it, but let's be honest, he's not an entertaining All-Star game player. So,
sign up for every All-Star game to see how many screen assists a big can get.
It'll be curious to see what old Rudy's like this year in the game.
This is already obviously a unique situation because there are so many players that are coming out against the All-Star game in the first place, right? It's going to be really interesting.
This year is especially, strange.
It's going to be interesting to see who all actually participates. Yeah. Like, we might be heading... Remember, for a long time there, before the Redeem team, it was always a who going to be there type of situation when it came to the Olympics, right? It was like, I'd be honored to be invited and it'd be great and all those things. But like, also, who am I going to be playing with when I go to Barcelona, whatever it is. And I really kind of think that this is going to be one of those situations here with this current All-Star game where let's see who the biggest star is, who says, actually, I tweaked my hammy. I got to focus on myself over the course of that week. And like, it would be a bummer because it would be kind of a spit in the face of the notion of the All-Star game. But also, again, like we're talking about at the very foundation of this conversation, the battle that we're seeing across all of professional sports between what is best for every team from a competitive standpoint and what is best for the league from an entertainment standpoint.
Yeah.
And like, for me personally, I don't want LeBron playing. For me as a Lake fan, I don't want him participating in that game. It's stupid. Take your whole week off. Never wear anything on your feet other than sandals for a full week. Just drink some wine and take it and be able to recharge your body. But also, like, from somebody who covers this league and somebody who benefits from the health of the league, you know, there are a lot of people out there who are saying, well, it still benefits this league by getting the ratings and generating the revenue that an All-Star game can typically generate.
I also wonder if there's perhaps a little bit of fan fatigue in this season. You know, every season kind of goes by quickly, but this season especially so. I mean, these teams are playing every other night. That means there's, you know, there's a lot of games every single night. So if you're a fan of the league and you've been following, or even just a fan of a team, tuning in every other night for a good 2.5 months now, I wonder if there's some fans that just also wouldn't mind taking the 6-7 days off of watching the NBA altogether. I know it sounds a little wild, but it does feel a little bit like
a bye week for fans.
A bye week. It's just been such a sprint. It's just been such a sprint of even watching this. And the seasons have been very up and down for all but the Utah Jazz, really. You know, it just, I'm kind of curious.
Yep. I'm with you there. As somebody who relies heavily on iTunes reviews or mailbag questions and stuff like that, I can tell you right now, listeners are a little wary, a little tired. You know, Lakers fans have been, and the Lakers players have been basically in season for,
man. Yeah, the Lakers, I mean, Markieff Morris opened up about it this week, just talking about it's the most basketball he's ever played in his life, which I can't imagine. He doesn't remember, I'm guessing, when he was 14, 15, and you'd play eight games in one day. There was at one point early. No, I'm just kidding. But no, he opened up and talked about it.
Imagine being a starter on that Lakers team, right? Like, Markieff Morris is sitting there as a bench player who had like a week off randomly because he fell out of the rotation. Imagine being a starter on KCP and like, Markieff, my dude, come on.
But I really do wonder if we see some sloppy basketball just in, you know, as we're essentially 1 week away from All-Star break. So I wonder if things just continue to kind of just get sloppy for some teams as they're running out of steam.
Yep. All right. Speaking of running out of steam, that's going to do it for that segment. When we come back, we are going to come back and discuss Adam's top five teams who actually feel good about the first half of their segment, or their first, not segment, first half of their season. All right, Adam, so take me through what it took for you to define whether or not a team is happy about the first portion of their season.
How, if they were happy with one, if their season is going well, that was a big, that was a really big indicator for this. But, you know, you also factor in why.
Thanks for playing along, Adam. I'm just trying to, I'm giving you an opportunity to open the segment. Well,
it was, I thought of a on the nose lead in. No, but okay. So you get the, if you're having a good season, obviously what your projections were. And then if there's like specific things, like, you know, even small victories along the way to the success.
Yeah.
So, without further ado, my only honorable mention I had was the New York Knicks. New York Knicks. So the New York Knicks right now, the sixth seed out East, 16-17 record. I mean, there's a real, like, there's a bunch of teams that are, they could drop easily down, you know, to the 11th seed with a one or two game losing streak, but their season's been very positive, and Julius Randle sort of breaking everybody's expectations. That's enough for an honorable mention for me. That's a surprising feel good team so far.
I feel like for Knicks fans, they are happy with the first portion of their season, so long as James Dolan just doesn't talk. Like, we haven't really heard anything from James Dolan so far this year. And that in and of itself is a win.
You don't think about your owner when you're winning. You think about your owner nonstop when you're losing. And right now they're doing well. All right. So they were the honorable mentions. So number five, the Charlotte Hornets.
Man, that's kind of low.
That's kind of, you think, you would be higher for them.
Yeah. I mean, we thought they were going to be one of, if not the worst team in the NBA so far this year.
And they actually are, like, again, part of that jumbled mess. They're the 8 seed right now, but again, could climb all the way up to the 4 seed or drop all the way to the 12 seed if you know, with one or two losses. But yeah, you got LaMelo Ball playing, I think, beating everybody's expectation. Even if you were a LaMelo Ball optimist, the sort of leap he made, even from what was, you know, last year, what we saw from him last year in the Australian League, he's a better player in the NBA than he was in the Australian League.
Yeah.
Which is pretty incredible to go up a level and also become better relative to your competition.
Is the NBA best, the best league in the world? Mike Collum.
But he's just such a smart player, such a great decision maker, his shots falling. And then of course you're getting Terry Rozier and Gordon Hayward having career years. So you're getting, you have other things to feel good about with some of your offseason decisions. So they're number five for me.
Yeah, like, you know, the fact that you're talking about, you know, when you were prepping for this segment and discussing team expectations heading into this, like, that's why I thought they might be a little higher, because, I mean, I don't know any Hornets fans personally. Like, I don't, have you ever spoken to a Hornets fan?
Yeah, I know people from Charlotte. You don't know anybody, you don't talk to people, Anthony. That's your problem.
I know our own Doug Branson, like, you know, I've had conversations with him. I just didn't think, but like, I would imagine any Hornets fan heading into the season was like, oh, well, here we go again.
Right.
Like the playoffs were never even a notion in the back of their minds. And here they are sitting, you know, not in prime postseason positioning, but with a much greater, with much greater access to it than they thought heading into the season. Like, that in and of itself would vault them well above expectations in my eyes.
And also, it's just your rookie is not just good and impactful, but also fun. I mean, he's a lot of fun. He might be one of the most fun players, if not the most fun player, just because of the new factor in the NBA this season. Number four for me, I have the Phoenix Suns. Suns, who are almost tied with the Lakers, by the way, in the record column right now. 20-11. They've got a little bit of a padding right now from where they are to the teams behind them. So, but they've just been great. Chris Paul, that, you know, it's a risk taking a guy that old. He's panned out you know, just so fantastically mm-hmm. for them. You've got Devin Booker playing the best basketball of his life.
Whoa,
you've
don't
got,
tell him that.
Well, I won't. Well, I'm not that he wasn't good last year. I'm just marginally better, just marginally better as you would expect.
Supremely a-hole move on his part. I'm just going to come out and say it. I thought it was a really bad look on his part.
I didn't mind it. I did mind it. It was weird, but I mean, it happens, whatever. I could see how he felt attacked.
Attacked? Yeah. Like, I'm hey saying, man, like, you know, you're playing attacked, really like... well. This guy who's like very clearly speaking his second, maybe third language is like, hey, you're playing really well. And Devin Booker's like, am I actually playing well?
That's not how it went down. But whatever. Anyway, despite that confrontation, the Phoenix Suns should feel very good about where they are, in my opinion.
Yeah, no. Like overall, I agree completely. I thought heading into this year that Phoenix needed some more veteran help to figure more seriously into the playoff picture, but they are getting it done with the team that they have. And like one of the nice things both for Charlotte and in Phoenix's case right now is that like they're having the fun season that they're having right now. And that just makes you more excited about what the years to come might look like.
Yeah, for sure. Number three on my list, number three most happiest team relative to expectations coming in, the Brooklyn Nets. How can
when you acquire James Harden?
Exactly. I was gonna say, so from the get-go you just added a third star.
Yeah,
and then you wonder like, okay, if we add him, what do they mesh like, what do they look like, who does he, can he change his game? That was the big question. Can he be different than what he was in Houston? Immediately he a new reinvention of himself that was still a lot like what his strengths were in Houston, but just, you know, looking to pass more, putting the ball on Kevin Durant's hands and Kyrie Irving's hands. It's worked perfectly. And here's what's crazy about them. Their record doesn't even reflect it, although they are right now, as we speak here, on an 8-game winning streak. An 8-game winning streak heading into tomorrow's matchup with the Mavericks. But they win the tough games. Their record against above 500 teams is fantastic. Losing the bad games, that tells me focus. That tells me you don't worry about those ones nearly as much. Their best is as good as anyone's right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was skeptical about what the team is going to look like. I'm still somewhat skeptical about what they're going to look like, you know, come postseason time, and whether they're going to be able to get enough stops to go out and win a championship. But to this point, for all 7 Brooklyn Nets fans out there, they have to be thrilled about the direction that their season is going in.
You just don't, I'm telling you, you don't know people, Anthony. They're out there. You just don't know them. You gotta talk to people. I'm a man of the people. Number two.
Yes. I wonder who between us follows more people on Twitter.
Number two, the Philadelphia 76ers, number one in the Eastern Conference, 22-11. And it's really better than that. When they have all their guys healthy, they're even.
I thought they were going to be number one. Okay.
No, they're number two. They have to be the second. Who did I have?
Oh, Utah. Never mind. I take that back.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Come on, you get out of here.
Yeah, I take it back. I said,
the 76ers look fantastic. Joel Embiid took a whole other step up. You know, they're it. Might have the number one seed and the MVP this year. That's big time.
It was wild today. So there was that random report that maybe they would be trading for Kyle Lowry. And I like Kyle Lowry, by the way.
Really good player.
And when that report came down, I was like, why? It's crazy, right? Like the Philadelphia 76ers could be acquiring a player on the caliber of where Kyle Lowry is. And I was like, I don't think they need to. And obviously, like those reports didn't really come to fruition or anything like that. And so we're still sitting here seeing where that direction or where the direction those rumors or trade speculation goes in. But this Philadelphia 76ers team has really come together. They added a bunch of shooting. Joel Embiid, like you said, has really taken a step forward. And also, like Ben Simmons is reminding people, a lot of the analysis about him was really stupid there for a really long time.
Yeah. Absolutely. Ben Simmons is fantastic. The best defender in the NBA and Joel Embiid on the same team.
Yeah. Well, they don't have Anthony. All right, go ahead.
Number one, of course, you mentioned it. The Utah Jazz. How could you not be happy if you were the Utah Jazz? Their record might
all right, that's going to do it for this episode and this week's episode.
You're the worst. Their record, honestly, we have to, I mean, look, we have to gas them up here. They've been that fantastic. Yeah, 10.1 point differential and 26-6. They're dominant. Their offense is good. Their defense is good. They're playing with so much cohesion. You know, I do think it will be a challenge for them playing the role of the front runner. It's always tough when you haven't won and then you come out and dominate the season like this. There's always going to be a target on your back, but you know, they're just playing great basketball right now. How could they not be happy relative to what people expected of them?
Absolutely. For the sake of this conversation, they are 1,000,000% thrilled with the direction that their season has gone in to this point. And by the way, like one of the things that I think annoys me the most in sports coverage is this notion of like excitement with the team has to be brought down to earth because of what their chances of winning a championship have to be. Like,
right.
To this point, if you're a Utah Jazz fan, does the fact that LeBron plays for the Lakers and Kawhi plays for the Clippers change how much fun this season, like that Utah Jazz team kicking ass the way that they have?
But you really don't. Are you not in any way concerned about the Utah Jazz? Like, do they not strike fear in you in any way?
Well, I mean, are you trying to get me fired? Like, is that...
No, I'm wanting your honest opinion because I think they've been actually good. And
but that's the thing. But that's my point, Adam. They have been actually good. And whether or not they actually factor into like Lakers fans' expectations for what a title team actually looks like, that doesn't matter. That shouldn't matter.
I'm just interested in yours. I'm trying to take the temperature here.
I'm not that worried about the Utah Jazz. That's part of my point here. Of what the Utah Jazz are capable of shouldn't matter even a little bit right now in terms of like how much fun this first half of the season should be. If anything, if I'm a Utah Jazz fan and I hear myself or somebody saying things that I'm saying about the Utah Jazz right now, I would say, cool, awesome. Continue to doubt us and we'll prove you wrong. Like that. And like that's the amount of confidence I would maybe have because they have been awesome. A 10.1 point differential on the season so far. The next
it's more than that though.
The next closest to them is the Bucks at 7.6, and the Bucks have had like a quote unquote disappointing season to this point.
Yeah. I just, you know, it's not just some of the numbers. It's also just the way that team seems to have come together to be working towards the best version of themselves. And that's what I think is just so important. So they've had some failures in the past, but this team just seems to be clicking in the way that I think gets the most out of all of them, but we'll see. It's a long season. Hopefully they didn't peak too soon.
Well, but that isn't the point of this exercise.
Sure it is.
No, it isn't.
We're just talking. No, they're the number one because of, to this point.
Yeah,
of course.
That's right. Well, you're saying they haven't peaked too early. It doesn't matter to me whether they peaked too early. This first half of the season, if you're a Utah Jazz fan, has been supremely blissful, has been really, really fun. And like one of the things that I think we have melted our brains with in sports coverage is this notion of like it's title or bust. And I just think that's really dumb. Like we should be able to stop and smell the roses. If you're a Utah Jazz fan to this point, you should be able to say like, this has been a really fun few months of basketball. Let's see where this thing goes. And if they don't win a championship this year, it doesn't mean that these last couple months haven't been any less fun.
Sure.
But also count the rings. Adam just backed away from the computer. That's his signaling to me that this episode and this week's episode of the Locked On NBA podcast is over with. Please continue to tune in across this feed and across all of the Locked On NBA network and across the entire Locked On podcast network for all of the various sports. You have rumor season in the NFL. You have spring training in Major League Baseball. NHL is in effect right now. NBA obviously in full swing. So make sure you guys are tuned in to keep track of everything going on with your favorite team from your local expert. Until next week, I'm Anthony Irwin for Adam Atta saying have a good one.